For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
So, I'm Danny Walker. This is my wife, Cheryl. And this workshop is titled Tips for Sharing Jesus with Hindus. And I want to make sure you're where you think you're going to be. We're so very glad each and every one of you is here to learn about this important topic. Cheryl and I have been serving Hindus in Central Ohio for 7 or 8 years now. We have extensive experience with Bhutanese Nepali refugees, and it's been very, very exciting that we've seen many of the refugees come to Christ. And there's other sectors of the Bhutanese and Nepali community, which is a large community in Columbus, that are still unreached and still need to be reached. Additionally, to a lesser extent, we've worked with suburban Indian Hindus, and we know some suburban Indian Hindu families, and we've done some ministry there. Cheryl and I are both members and home church leaders here in Xenos. And then in addition to that, we've been with CRU for a couple of years now. CRU is formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. We've been trained by Kathy Douglas of Naya Jeevan, that's her ministry sector in CRU, to offer a weekend seminar about reaching Hindus. The seminar is called Love Your Neighbor. Here's a flyer, and I've got about 20 flyers in the back. Not enough for everybody, I don't think, but you can get the information on the internet. And if you're serious about taking the Love Your Neighbor seminar, it's all about reaching Hindus. It is a 12-hour seminar. It's offered many places all over the world, all over the U.S. We can bring it to your church if you'd like, but it's a long one. And what else do I want to say about the seminar? Oh, that this webinar is available in August, and I think they break it into 4 different sessions. So it's not a 12-hour marathon. It's a weekend seminar or a 4-session webinar available to you. And it'll delve much deeper into the topics that we're covering today and some additional topics as well. It's a very, very helpful seminar. Today's breakout session is perfect for any one of you who has Hindus in your neighborhood or school or workplace, marketplace, or family. And it's very good. It's perfect as an introductory for you. And also, it'll be helpful if you none of that seems to fit in your case. There'll also be some things that'll help you meet Hindus. Importantly, and it's this is so important for the church to know, and that is that when we look at the landscape of migration, migration from the Indian subcontinent is one of the fastest growing sectors of legal migration to the USA. And so it's a very fast growing sector of our society. Today we'll offer several tips for outreach to this sector of society, which is largely Hindu, but not exclusively Hindu. There's some Christian migration, a lot of Muslim migration, Sikh, Jain, etc., Buddhist. And Cheryl and I will alternate sharing tips with you, and we'll leave some time to answer questions afterwards. Before we get to the tips, I think at the top of your handout is a definition of success in witnessing. It's the definition we'll be working with that we think is an encouraging, helpful definition. So I'll read it to us. Success in witnessing is simply taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. We'll break that down just very briefly. Taking initiative, that's the Great Commission, isn't it? Go into all the world. Jesus says go. It's at our initiative. We're not waiting, and we're using proper boldness as the Spirit directs us to be bold and to speak. Cheryl will have a whole section on going to share Christ. And so when we say to share Christ, we're talking about focusing on Jesus and the good news. We're not talking about focusing on our church, and we're not even talking about focusing on Christianity. When you talk about Christianity, that can be a trap, actually, and I think Cheryl has a section on that. And also, as much as possible, stay away from social issues attached to Christianity or social issues attached to Hinduism. If you have to go there, don't linger there. Try to just stick to Jesus. lifting up Jesus because Jesus is unique and different and pure. In the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8 says Jesus wanted his disciples. They had everything they needed, but he says, wait for the Holy Spirit. That you want to be doing the work in the power of the Holy Spirit. You want to be going before the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to energize your words and your love. Pray for power. And then leave the results to God. This is so important because we can't get too freaked out about our results, and because sometimes we don't even know what our results are. We may or we may not see a harvest. For many decades, most of the Hindus in the United States have been suburban, professional people. And just like in any other people group, suburban professional people haven't been coming to Jesus a lot. They're focused on their careers and their money. And so for the most part, this is a field that hasn't been coming to Jesus, with some key exceptions. Young people, second generation, come to Christ. Sometimes a single person from a family will come to Christ. And so we have to be patient. It's a hard field. And also we have to be patient because the language is so different. Have you ever shared grace with somebody and you think they didn't really get it? They didn't really understand that I was talking about a free gift, not works. And in the case of sharing Jesus with Hindus, the chasm, the language barrier, that conceptual barrier is probably greater with Hindus than other world religions. That there's some common experience if you're talking to a Muslim or to an atheist, but with Hindus, the chasm is maybe greater than any other world religion. So we have to be prepared for some hardship. And encouragingly, I've heard many, many stories, particularly about children praying for their parents, Hindu background believers who come to Christ, that will pray for their parents for 10 or 15 years and then say, my mother came to Christ after all this time. And so it does take time.
Choreography with us, it looks like.
We hope so.
It's a good thing we're married, I'm just saying. To be positive, we need to have a positive attitude. I think it's very easy sometimes for us as Christians, well, let me just ask, what kind of a reputation do Christians usually have when it comes to sharing Jesus? Yeah. Pushy, not a good reputation at all. And so we want to avoid that. A lot of times Christians want to avoid people who are uncomfortable to them. And let's keep in mind that Jesus was called a friend to sinners. He loved everybody. And so that's what we want to be like. We want to be like him and go. Keep that in mind in regard to prayer. Pray for them, not against things. A friend of mine talked about a missionary came to her and said, there is a temple moving into, being built in our neighborhood, and we're gathering some Christians together to pray against it. And my believing friend said, oh, the missionary said, do you want to come? And my believing friend said, no, thank you, but would you please consider praying for them and thanking God for bringing them to your neighborhood? This way, you don't need to move to India. You can stay right where you are and share him with them. So it's a very different perspective. Be thankful. Figure out what is the Holy Spirit doing, and how can we get in step with what he's doing? So avoid militancy. Horror, disdain. Think about what your face is looking like when we're talking, because we're learning new things, and look at it like that. Look at it as I get the opportunity to learn new things about people who God loves. By the way, are there any Hindu background believers in here? We have two. Praise God.
Mm. 62 years experience.
Namaskar.
I speak 22 languages of Indian Pakistan.
And same, and they speak the same language.
More than 35,000 Hindu families accepted Jesus to me.
So for those of you listening on CD, we have a brother here who follows Jesus out of a Hindu background. Namaskar, brother and sister, I have a request. I've got your phone number, and Ritu, I've already got yours. As you hear what we have to go over, would you please, we're interested in feedback afterwards, and we want to learn more what the Spirit is doing. And you keep in mind the 15 years for your parents. So that is be positive. Number two, go to them. And now it sounds obvious. But it's not always obvious. A lot of times we, like, will invite them to what we have going in a church setting. But think about this. How comfortable would you feel going to a Hindu temple? Just most of you have probably never been to a Hindu temple, and walking into some place that you've never been before, it would be uncomfortable. And it's the same with Hindus being invited to church. So keep that in mind, and if there are neutral settings that you can invite them to or hang out at, that might be good. Now, don't avoid inviting them, but realize there's a bigger picture going on here. Go where they are. So if we're wanting to go like Jesus, he came from heaven, the perfect environment, and he came here to die for us. We have the opportunity to go and tell others about him. So where would I meet a Hindu if I don't know any? Or where would I meet them if I'd like to share Jesus with them? So there are certain pockets in the community where you can just go and you can literally just walk down the sidewalk. And you see the women may have a red dot. That's a Hindu woman. Or if she's wearing a sari wrapped and over the shoulder. But a lot of them might just be wearing Western clothing, but there are pockets. Yes. Where else might I meet a Hindu? Amen. At work or on the phone when you're calling. Yes. IT is huge. Yes. So do you work with Hindus?
Yeah, my boss is Hindu.
There you go. All right. And along with that, school. And I'm really happy to see some high school people here. Junior high folks, you know, they're right beside us, wherever we are, if our eyes are looking. Shops, how many of you have ever been in a shop that sells Indian food? You will get a much better price there than you will at Kroger, so check it out. Theater, and certain times when they show Bollywood movies. Learn about Bollywood movies. Restaurants. So these are just some ideas. Go to their home, their apartment. Go hang out where they are. Some of our Nepali friends, you know, you go and you need to be ready to sock in for a couple hours. You're not just going for a 5-minute stop-in visit. They get hospitality. You read the Bible. They get hospitality, and so do much of, especially newer communities. You have tea, you have food, you have conversation. And oh my goodness, we were at one Bible study in an apartment where we had the Bible study and we had some discussion, and a friend of ours brought his guitar, and what broke out but not only singing but dancing. So it's just an all-around, can be a wonderful experience if you're willing to go.
We asked for two mics, but there was a hiccup. This next section is ask, listen, and share, if you're following along in your notes. And first we'll talk about asking good questions. Asking a good question is an open-ended question. We want questions that aren't easily answered with a yes-no answer. And so think about open-ended questions, a tell-me-about type question. And we want to ask questions that open doors. This is about opening the doors of relationship, opening the doors of love. It's about being interested in this person and knowing what drives them, and knowing that our presupposition about what they believe or who they worship or what festival is important to them may be wrong. And so just going in with a blank slate, asking questions that'll open doors of understanding. First, let me give you some examples of bad questions. And sadly, Christians can do this, especially in Western culture where we might not understand Hinduism that well. That a bad question would be, is it true that you worship rats and snakes? You know, that can be an alienating question. That's not really going to open doors. That might cause somebody to feel defensive or stereotyped, you know. Another example of a bad question is, if Hinduism is so great, why is there so much poverty in India? You see, someone might feel the door closing, a wall being built at that point. And so don't ask about negative parts of a culture like caste or poverty or corruption. You're all going to be off on the wrong foot, just the same as if somebody were to ask about a bad aspect of our culture. All of a sudden, we feel like maybe we're in a combative or a defensive relationship, and that's the opposite of where we're going. We're trying to open doors. And so to ask good questions, it's helpful for you to have the background understanding that many Hindus are different than each other. If you go to North India, they will have one festival. If you go to South India, they'll have another festival that's their most important festival of the year. And so you want to come in with a blank slate to learn about them without presuppositions. And that's what, because Hindus are so different than each other many times. Some Hindus believe in many, many hundreds of thousands of gods, and some will say, oh no, really, there's just one. And so some Hindus will worship many gods, some Hindus will say, oh, our family is devoted to Krishna. And so don't go in with presuppositions. You can ask a question like, tell me, how does your family practice Hinduism? The word family's in there because typically an extended family will all practice their Hinduism the same way. Tell me, are there any particular deities that are important to your family, you know, or important to you? And if they say, oh, yes, this is the deity that's important to me, then that probably opens up another question and say, you know, I've heard of Ram, but I actually don't know anything about Ram. Tell me about Ram. Why is Ram special to you? You see? Or if they say, oh, our family's into Ganesh, you say, I think I know who Ganesh is, but the only thing I know is what he looks like. Tell me about him. And so that kind of thing. It'll open, as you ask good questions, it'll open the door to asking more questions for the sake of learning. Another good question is, tell me about your prayers. When do you pray? What do you pray about? Do you pray a scripted prayer that comes from a book? Or what? Do you pray the same prayer every morning? When do you pray, and do you pray the same prayer like that? Don't be afraid. Many, many Hindu families, if you're visiting them, they're going to have a family shrine or a family altar. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated by that. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So you don't need to be afraid. You can ask questions. And don't be put off if you encounter their enthusiasm about their gods or about their religion, because this is about getting to know them, right? And so they're so enthusiastic about something. Don't think, oh no, this is terrible. No, it's good. You're getting to know who they are. You're getting to know what drives them. What about your faith? Here's one last question. What about your faith is helpful to you? Maybe in a room like this, maybe you're sitting here with a friend, or maybe you want to write down our email addresses. You can get a partner to help you ask good questions. And also, by the way, afterwards, I have some ideas for asking questions just about get the friendship rolling. Well, I haven't asked really any of those questions. This is about most of the questions, examples I've given you today are getting to what drives their faith, what drives their spiritual life. And so there's also some other good questions about just getting the friendship rolling. And The next part is listen to their answers. When they're talking, we're listening. We're not preparing our rebuttal. We're actually getting involved in active listening, not only sitting quietly, but being an active listener. An active listener would be someone who can participate, who can nod, who can say, let me see if I've got this right. This is what you believe. And you're going to mirror back to them. You're going to summarize in a few words till they agree that you understand. And by the way, many times people will be surprised that a Christian is actually listening to them, because there are many, many experiences where a Christian will just flood them with their own opinions. They're not really listening. They're just waiting for a chance to say how stupid what you believe is stupid and how what I believe is great. And so, again, don't criticize. If they mention idols, don't say, well, in the Bible it says God hates idols. It's true, but that's not what you're doing here. We're asking, we're listening, and then we're going to equal sharing. And so after you have listened well, and you can demonstrate that you're interested in them and you can mirror what they said, then there's a time for equal sharing about Jesus or the gospel. And what I'm recommending is that you take roughly the same amount of time that they took. If they took a few minutes, then you take roughly the same amount of time, and it's a chance for you to share what you would like to share about Jesus. I usually tell them about Lord Jesus, because that's more of a terminology that they would use. So I'd say, I'd like to tell you about my experience with Lord Jesus, or my prayers, my personal prayers with Lord Jesus. And it's a chance to do that. Let me give you an example of that. I talked about Ganesh a little bit, and many people would say, one of my images, one of my statues of Ganesh. And I'll say, tell me about Ganesh. And if you ask them, they'll say, well, Ganesh is a remover of obstacles. He's got some extra strong features about him that can remove obstacles, okay? And you listen and you understand, and then you have equal time to share. And you can say, I like to pray to Lord Jesus because he is a remover of my obstacles. And in my life, I find that one of my biggest obstacles is sin. That sin is constantly hurting my relationship with God and my relationship with others. And when Jesus came, he died for me, he paid for my sin and my shame, and now the obstacle of my sin is taken away, and I can relate freely to God thanks to Lord Jesus. You see? And that's, what did I share there? A minute and a half? A minute and a quarter. Equal sharing. It doesn't hurt to share less if you want to keep the friendship. Share less than them and look for another opportunity. Festivals is a good time to say, what festival does your family love? So many Indians love Diwali, but if you go in the South, they say we love Pongal or whatever. The Nepalis love Dasai. And so you might ask, what is your favorite festival? They'll probably say Diwali. And you listen and say, tell me about Diwali. And they tell you a little bit Diwali. They'll mention light and then say, and then after you've listened to them, say, you know, I want to tell you about my understanding of light. Lord Jesus told us that he's the light of the world. And I used to believe that evil and darkness was always out there, and that Jesus needed to oppose darkness out there. But he showed me that there's also evil and darkness in my own heart. And because he's the light of the world, when I received Jesus, he brought light into my life by removing my sin. And so I can tell them a little bit, and that's specifically catered to jar the thinking of your Hindu friend. So listen to their answers, ask good questions, listen to their answers, and have a time of equal sharing.
Speak their language. This goes beyond only the mother tongue. If you know the mother tongue, use it. That's wonderful. But most of us don't. And so we go with what we do have. And if they live here, they want to learn English. So use English. They like refining their English also. So that can be to their advantage in more ways than one. From their writings, you know, maybe read some of the Hindu writings. And like Danny mentioned, A lot more information is given in the Love Your Neighbor seminar that goes into more detail here. Or you could Google what are Hindu writings, scriptures. But some of their writings, they have, like we talk about Bible verses, they have slokas. And so you might learn some slokas. There's one that says, I am born a sinner, made a sinner by deeds. Wow. You sure could have some good discussions about that. But also we need to avoid Christianese. Avoid speaking in religious jargon. And in fact, we need to kind of unlearn Christianese and figure out what terms we can use that make sense to our Hindu friends. Because that's the goal. That it be understood by the person who's listening to it. Words like Christianity can close doors. If you're going to talk about religion, you know what they want to do? They want to let you know that Hinduism is one of the oldest, is the oldest religion, and it becomes a different issue. Instead of saying, I'm a Christian, how about a follower of Jesus or a disciple? They understand disciple. The word saved, that doesn't make sense. Resurrection, be careful when you use that word. They will hear reincarnation. And so I'm not saying use no Christian terms, but if you're going to use some of these, you want to define them. So resurrection, 3 days after Jesus was killed and he was put into a tomb, he rose back to life in the same body. Now there's a definition that adds a little bit more substance, that in the same body. Salvation. Yes, they have an understanding of salvation, and it's different than ours. So just be aware, and as you get to know your Hindu friend better, you spend time together, you'll understand what they believe and what they're hearing. We have a friend of ours, Shakti, and he is the oldest son in his family, and when his father, that's a different story. His family had heard some news, and they called him up. He lives here in the States. They live in India. And they said, have you converted? And Shakti answered back, by the way, conversion is a very controversial topic in India. And Shakti answered back, Jesus has transformed my heart. So you don't have, you can define the terms in ways that answer questions, but they're different questions or in a different way than might be being asked. Number 5, stick to Jesus, not Christianity. Now, I mentioned this a little before. If you're going to talk about Christianity, it's guaranteed that you will hear about how Hinduism is, from their perspective, the oldest religion there is. And that's what you're going to end up camped out talking about. You don't want to go there. Don't get into Christianity. Talk about Jesus. He's who we want to talk about, and he's who they need. Number 6, be a storyteller. Now, number 1, Bible stories, but also personal stories. This is a real concrete tool that we can use. But it's helpful to know what attracts Hindus to Jesus. So if we're going to tell stories, let's try to be strategic about which ones. So there are 3 themes that I just want to talk about, and these are attractive to Hindus. Number 1, power. Jesus is powerful. And so if you are around the Hindu community very long, and if there are things going on spiritually, you're going to hear about dreams and you're going to see healings. Those are powerful ways that God works. In addition to that, in the scriptures, in the Gospels, we have specific stories. Can you think of any stories in the Gospels that involve power?
Yes.
From a distance, Jesus healed a servant. Yes. Yes. Now, that's Old Testament, and I would encourage you to stick to New Testament in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Calming the sea. That's a great one. There might be a point, though, where you could bring that up. It's rather shocking. It's a miracle. Any miracles are going to show power. And I would also stick to the New Testament because clearly we're talking about Jesus there, too. One of my favorites to share is in Mark 5, where Jesus healed, cast the demons out of the demoniac. And so to be able to tell that story maybe in 2 or 3 minutes, we have to study up to do that. Second theme that is attractive to Hindus is love. Love. Can you think of any stories in the Gospels that would communicate love? Mary and Martha. They have a relationship with Jesus, and you get to see it lived out. The woman at the well. Yes. Yes. And that might also overlap with the next topic also. Bring it up in just a minute. The story of the cross. But again, I want to encourage you, don't go on for a half hour. As we're reading the Word, think about what stories, how could I tell this story in a condensed way.
And the story of the lost son is also pretty shocking to Eastern culture.
The lost son, prodigal son. And talk about, and especially if you correlate in parables, God is like the father in the story. Mm-hmm. And so you make that correlation. The third theme would be sin. Forgiveness is attractive. Can you think of any scriptures that would communicate about forgiveness in the Gospels, in a Gospel story? The debtor. And again, if you're talking about a parable, you want to explain God is like the one who forgives. The big, yes, yes, the prodigal again. You've got forgiveness there. The cross. Love your enemy, Jesus says. He was kind of a dirtball in that culture. And you can tell that story. So be a storyteller. Also, be able to talk about the reasons why you follow Jesus and especially how he's changed your life.
I wanted to tack something on with the point about being a storyteller. It's something I've done a lot in a lot of Hindu homes. I've been telling stories. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is that pointing out that Jesus had a lot of conflict with the religious leaders. We went to, there's an old grandma who's a friend of ours, and she has one leg. She was bitten by a cobra in the Himalayas and lost her leg. And her name is Grandma Thapa, and Krishna Thapa. And we were at the family, and we were having a meal together, and I said, I'd like to tell the story from John 9 of the man born blind. Krishna's granddaughter, Radhika, did the translating, and I told the story quickly, and I would speak it, and then she would translate into Nepali for her grandmother and for a couple other family members. It was a crowded room. And then Radhika would say, and then when it got to the end, I pointed out that the religious leaders were pretty angry that Jesus had broken some of their rules, and they didn't really care that the man was healed. They were angry that the rules was broken. And she translated that. And he turned the tables on the leaders. And he says, isn't it interesting that the blind man now sees, but you are acting blind? And Grandma goes, ababa, like that. And Radhika says, this happens in our culture too. That it's very common that we're so privileged in the Lord that the Lord is into lifting up the low. But in other religions and other cultures, the low are thoroughly suppressed and they don't understand. And so when Jesus turns the tables on the religious establishment, it's you're making some progress when you tell a story like that. Point 7 on your handout is be prepared for common objections. The Love Your Neighbor seminar has many of those, but I think at the core of these, we're just going to want to focus on one common aspect right now, one theme, and that is the idea that all religions teach the same thing. And you hear that so much from Hindus. If you're in dialogue with Hindus, you're going to hear that. They'll say Jesus and Krishna are really the same, and they'll say all paths lead to God. And so this is a common thing that you encounter. And really, Hindus, it's what you're encountering when you encounter this is something that Hindus are really proud of. They're proud of what we would call Hindu tolerance, that we are so accepting, and if everybody would just think the way we do and accept all views, we can all get along because we tolerate all views. And besides, all paths and all religious slogans are praising the same God. And so that's what you'll hear. I'll listen to that many, many times. And there's one story I like to share. It's not a Bible story, but I'll share it, something like maybe I can role play it with Cheryl, where I'll say, I'd like to tell you a story, if you don't mind.
Okay.
A lot of my friends say that all paths lead to God. And they say that God is like a high mountain, and that you can climb up a path on this side to get to the top, and you can climb up a path on this side or this side, but all the paths are leading to the top.
And so,
you know that story. And so Islam is one story, Christianity is another path, and Hinduism is another path. And I'll say, you know, in some ways, all religions really are the same, that they all teach certain values and certain ethics. But Lord Jesus is at the top of the mountain, and he's God, and he's perfect, and he's pure. And he sees that none of us are making it all the way up the mountain, that none of us have the purity that he has, that none of us have the perfection that Lord Jesus has, that none of us are always honest, and that whatever path we're on, we're not making it to the top of the mountain. And so, because Lord Jesus is different, he's ready to come down the mountain, and he's ready to die for us and die for our shortcomings. And he is ready to open the door and give us the perfection that he has. And I'll tell them that story. And I'll ask them, what do you think of it? I'll ask them, has anyone ever told you that story before? And so it's just a way to, I'm not saying that's stupid, you know, how can they all say the same thing? Isn't it obvious that they're different? I'm just saying, in some ways they're the same, but Jesus is different. He came down. I don't know of any other God that came down and died for our sins. Sometimes if I'm far along in a relationship, I'll tell my pharmacy story too. My pharmacy story is you go to the doctor and you're really suffering with an illness, and the doctor figures out what illness you have and he writes you a prescription, and you take the prescription and you go to the pharmacy, and the pharmacist says, let me see your prescription, and you wouldn't say, oh, just give me anything. You wouldn't say, just give me any medicine. It doesn't matter. You want to fill the prescription that the doctor gave, right? And I'll say, and it's the same with Jesus, that God says our problem is sin, and that Jesus is the only one who died for our sin. If we want our sin and our shame covered, Jesus' death covers our sin and our shame. And so I'll do that. And that's how I deal with the all religions are the same thing. Or sometimes I just let it go. I let it go and hope that for another chance to talk about it later. Point 8, pray powerfully. Powerful prayer. I've heard it said that it's just as important to talk to God about the person you're witnessing to as it is to talk to the person about God, that it's just as important, if not more so. It's important to be praying, that prayer is where the power comes from. God's going to remind us. God's going to help us reflect on what have we learned about this person, so that when I tell a story, I'm going to tell a story that's very applicable to their life. And the other thing that's exciting about praying for them is that Hindus, kind of differently than many aspects of our culture, if you say, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Is there something going on in your life that I can pray about? They'll say, yes, pray. And you'll say, I will pray in the name of Lord Jesus. And they say, pray, pray. And so you have the opportunity to pray with your Hindu friend who may not be moving towards Jesus at all. But as you pray with them and as they see your sincere relationship with God, as they hear your prayers, the prayer will affect them. So pray powerfully and persistently. Like I said before, it might take a long, long time. I've heard many, many stories from Hindu background believers, particularly of their parents or of a sibling, where it's taken more than a decade, closer to two, for them to come to Christ. Point nine, love genuinely. Love them over a long period of time. Know them. Know their joys, know their sorrows. I already mentioned pray with them. You know, tell them about the love of Jesus. I'd like, Tom, you were telling me, my friend Tom Isley is doing a lot of kind deeds to the Nepali community, which is a refugee community, and he says a lot of times they'll ask him, why are you doing all these good things? And he'll say, I love because God first loved me. Jesus gives love freely. He filled up my life with love. That's why I'm loving, because I can love. God's filled me up completely. I have enough to share because of Lord Jesus. You see, and so we, and really this can stand quite in contrast to their Hindu gods, where they kind of have a contractual relationship with their Hindu gods. It's like, I'll give you some fruits, I'll give you some milk, I'll visit your temple, and I'm expecting a few things from you. I'm going to get on your good side, so you'll bless me. I'm good to you, so you'll bless me. And say, oh no, with Lord Jesus, it's opposite. He initiated his love first. Love them genuinely. That's the name of the, that's what the whole Summer Institute's about. It's about love. It comes from God. We don't have it, but God will let it flow through us, and we give him the credit for it if we can love them genuinely. Well, we're at our last point. Don't avoid pointed questions. This is to point out that mostly what Cheryl and I have been talking about today is friendship evangelism. We're just talking about friendship evangelism. We're talking about the kind of situation where you might have to go a long period of time with somebody before they would come to Christ, before they would come interested. But there is a time to ask a very pointed question. There is a time to get down to serious, serious issues. You kind of have to know your own temperamental tendency. Are you the kind of person that's going to rush to the bullseye? Then you need to slow down a little bit and relax, maybe slow down a lot. Are you the kind of person that's going to wait forever? Then this is time for the Spirit to show you some proper boldness to say, when I'm in heaven, I want you there. And so here's some questions just two questions that might help. And they can help in any witnessing situation, not just with Hindus. Why should God let you into heaven? Why should God let you into heaven? And of course, Hindus don't necessarily believe in heaven, but they understand, especially here in the U.S., they understand our concept of heaven. And they'll be answering. They'll say, well, because I've been good, or because I tried to be good, or this, that, or the other. I went to temple. I did this. And, I honored my parents, whatever. And it's a chance for you to talk about grace and works. And you'll probably have to talk about grace and works many times, but it's a chance to say, God is different. That's why Jesus is different. You don't have to be good enough for Jesus. He was good enough that he gave his perfect life on the cross for you, that you can receive his forgiveness, that you can receive his perfect Holy Spirit. The other question that I like to use is, do you know for sure what will happen to you after you die? This is a vulnerable point for many Hindus. They don't know. They don't have any idea. Some of them might believe abstractly in reincarnation. I have friends who say, oh, Hinduism teaches reincarnation. But then when I say, Gobind, what happens to you when you die? He says, nothing. The lights go out. I'm like, I thought you believed in reincarnation. He's like, I was taught reincarnation. I just think the lights go out when I die. You know, like that. And so... So it's a question that people are concerned about. Many Hindus have anxiety about it. And you can let them know, you can know what would happen after you die. And I would like to tell you that there is a loving God who is ready to receive you in his kingdom if you have submitted yourself to him, if you have received his gift on the cross. That's why Jesus was unique. And it's a time to say, and that's why Jesus is the only way. It's a time to go ahead and roll that out. And so we have reached, before the 1 hour mark, the 10 tips for sharing Jesus. And I'm going to roll out one more thing. I said I had some questions that would help you in building relationship with Hindus, and this will just go fast. I call it the 5 F's. I heard this on the internet. I got it from, I think, a Baptist site, and it's really good. They clearly are doing the work. The 5 F's are: ask questions about family. Okay, you want to get to know somebody. Western culture, we don't ask about people's family very often. Every other culture of the world, tell me about your family. How's your father? How's your mother? How's grandpa? Asking lots of questions about family. And when you ask questions about family, you want to know where they're from. You know, what's your heritage? What state? What language is spoken in your home? What language do your grandparents speak? Asking questions about family. Asking questions about festivals. Are there any festivals that you particularly love? What season do you love? This is just a friendship building, learning about the person time. And when you ask about festivals, and are there certain foods that you love during that festival time? Lots of talking. In my opinion, Indian culture is very, very, very interested in food. Your food budget can never get too big. You can be thrifty everywhere, but on your food budget, spend, and talk about food and love your particular food. And so be curious and interested about food. And then future. Say, what are your goals for your future? That's a good F question to get to know a new friend. And the last question is faith. These kind of get progressively more intense and revealing. And so these 5 F's, gee, that's good for any friendship building. And it's a good way to get to know the person that you're engaged with. So we've reached the end of our 10 tips, and Cheryl, why don't you pray to finish?
Oh, Father, we praise you for who you are. We pray that you would keep drawing the Hindu community worldwide to you. Keep coaching us, Lord. Thank you for Brother Edwin and what you're doing in his life. Thank you for Ritu. Strengthen all the Hindu background believers. We pray for their families, that they would come to know you. Teach us, Lord. We want to keep in step with your spirit. Glorify your name throughout the earth. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.